The following podcast is brought to you by ART Studios and the El Paso Community College Department of Art, El Paso, Texas.
Welcome to ART Studios. In this series of podcasts titled Exhibitionist Scholarship, we visit with the Spring 2021 Student Art Show Award winners. We discover how student artists and architects approach their art, what inspires them, and we learn how they are preparing for a creative future.
Hello everyone, I am Davinia Mirabal and I am the coordinator for this year's Student Art Show. Today we are here with Ariana Ruffard, and she is the winner for the best of show. So for the EPCC art show this year, her piece was named Sugar Witches, and it's an animation. I have never really seen an animation before in any of the shows, Ariana. So, you know, like it's something new. It's amazing to see that we are also including in our art classes, you know, a little bit more of animation and digital art instead of just concentrating on the classical techniques. So that is very, very nice to see. It's just, you know, it's fresh, it's new, at least for this show, right? So let's start by you telling us something about yourself, and we will comment about your piece, if you don't mind.
I am a homeschool student before I came to college, and that's really how I became so, I guess, comfortable with digital art. I had to spend a lot of time on the computer, and I picked up animation as just a way to pass the time, actually. And I just, all of my free time went to making digital art. That's really why I'm so passionate about digital art in particular. I think my art teacher actually asked me about that. Why do you care so much about digital art? And it's just, it's been my whole life pretty much for as long as I can remember. I think the new style of making art and just the culture around it, especially like the internet culture of digital art, is just, it's been a center of my life for so long, and I find it also interesting and complex. One of the things that was actually funny about entering this art show is that, of course, Mr. Morrow, my drawing one teacher, he's the one who suggested I enter an art show, and it just seemed funny to me because I never considered digital art something that you enter in an art show. Especially not animation. It just didn't occur to me that it was the same kind of art. And I don't think it's occurred to a lot of people. Everyone in my community, I've never heard them say something about winning an art show before even considering it. I don't think they think of it as the same kind of art. And I'm really happy to be, I guess, involved in this side of the art world with my style of art that I'm so passionate about.
Do you think that like people in general or people in your community, like you were saying, they think about digital art a little bit more like maybe comics or, you know, more like a commercial industry kind of going into, you know, it's a movie so people can come and see it and we can make money out of it? Do you think that's you?
I think it's definitely for anyone who's like a real professional digital artist, it's definitely seen as more commercial. You make digital art for things that are going to be published to make money, you know. Especially my particular circle of digital artists, I don't think they really think of it as something that's in the art world at all. It's just a weird thing that usually teenagers do. But I actually find their culture of art over in that circle of like they call it aesthetics and stuff, you know, it's very teenager culture. I find it really interesting. They have just a whole set of words for this style of art that's happening over in the corner of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not at all in probably anywhere else in the art world. But I think it's really interesting, and it's definitely a huge inspiration for my animation that I did. It's just a style that's very popular over there, and you won't see it anywhere else.
I was wondering why this type of art, like digital art, is not more shown, right? Like in more classical places, like in this art show, right? Because you're not doing it by hand, right? But you are. And
yeah,
like you're not having, you know, go through a process, but you are. And it's just, you know, how it's being expressed at the very end, how it changes. I have a friend, he's a graphic designer, and he's very much into computers, right? So he... And in a certain way, he tends to eat his own work as a graphic designer kind of less as the other techniques and mediums. But he also has said that, you know, like drawing, it's kind of at the bottom of the art, and then painting, it's at the top. So maybe it's this mentality that it's not really letting us bring that animation, that digital art more forward, because, you know, from my point of view, I think it's, you know, it's an art technique and an art medium like any other, where you are expressing something, denouncing something, right? It's just in a different way that seems maybe a little bit more caricaturish in certain times, not always. Right, you can do something really serious with it. So you're making a painting move.
Exactly. I think there is a bit of like an old school bias that I can definitely feel just going through college. I've seen it, you know. I really don't think there is a difference between digital and traditional art, because it's really just like working with a different kind of paint, except this paint isn't real, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I still have to use a pencil. It's just a digital pencil that draws on a board. And then sometimes I'll draw with my mouse. And that's I hear that's a very hard method, and it's like learning how to use a new tool. Everything's just new tools that people have made up, you know, and are using for artistic reasons. And I don't see how it's any different, you know. I've seen a lot of really great artists that are digital that can only make what they make in a digital medium. And it's one of a kind. Like, there are people who paint with pixels, and it's a very specific kind of style that's really iconic. It's one of my biggest inspirations. I love this one artist who just... She makes artwork that looks a lot like 1950s looking pop art.
Uh-huh.
But the way she paints with pixels is like all, you can see every single stroke of pixel, every single different shade of color is its own like brush stroke, but it's all in pixels. So it's very sharp and very bold in a way that you couldn't possibly recreate with, and like paint and gloss paint or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different material that you use to make art with, and I don't think it should be treated any different, especially in animation's case, where, you know, traditional animation is only a little bit older than the art we make now. It's just a very rapidly changing medium.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe paint is like ancient, but animation, you could back to like hand-drawn animation, but that's only a couple years ago, you know. It's really no different than what we do now. And animation is something that was sort of born in technology. It comes from the fact we have it, you know. So there's no reason to see it as any more, I guess, valuable to do it the old-fashioned way, but then it's harder to do. It's harder and more time-consuming to do it by hand, and I don't really think it looks all that different. So I think that there's ways to do cheap animation that doesn't look very good with technology, but there's also ways
to make it. We do the same thing with drawing, you know.
Yeah. There's also ways to make it look uniquely beautiful that only technology could do, you know. So I think it's valuable either way.
And Ariana, how the idea of sugar witches came to be? What were you thinking?
That's actually, I wanted to submit sort of an animation wheel that conveyed the idea for what would one day be my pilot cartoon. I want to make my own cartoon one day. So that was sort of like, I wanted to make little snippets of scenes that convey the emotion and style of what the show will be like. Mm-hmm. It's actually in my files on my computer. It's called an animation wheel because it's just a set of scenes that come from the show that I will have. It's almost like I made an imaginary show in my head and made up a bunch of scenes and then cut them up and put them in, but I had to animate them from scratch. It actually originates from the style of animation that I do on my art blog, where I make fake GIF sets, where it looks like they're little GIF cutouts of something that already exists, like how they do online for like a TV show. People make fans. I wanted to make a fake one that looks like it's from my show, and that every now and then. And that's pretty much what I submitted for the contest. It's just a set of fake scenes from something that doesn't exist.
Well, but all of them have to do with some kind of candy, some kind of goodie.
The idea for the name of the show would be Sugarcane, which is a joke on sugar and arcane. So the idea is that they are witches that use sugar, which can crystallize and stuff and looks very witchy. It looks a bit like salt when you put it on the ground and stuff, you know. But they're all candy themed. And the theme is definitely like kind of like dark a bit. It's very witchy, but also it is very like oddly happy and cheeriness about it. there's a bit of almost disturbing, I guess, with like the falling hands and stuff, but also it's the hands are like made of chocolate. And there's the ominous candy man who's walking through his candy store. There's you can see them putting the sugar down on the floor to make a summoning circle. The idea, a lot of my artwork is like even my drawing final that I submitted, it's all like contrast between cute and disturbing. A lot of, I guess, weird, but also very feminine imagery. And I think for as long as I can remember, I've also just really loved drawing cake. And that just sort of affects the art that I make. So I guess a lot of my artwork is about just like feminine, but there's like a longness about it that conveys something weird, just pretty dainty and girly looking stuff, but also something feels off about it that makes it a little bit unnerving. I've always loved that style, and I'm inspired by a lot of artists who do that style as well.
Well, you know, it's very much like us as women too, right? We can be cute but disgusting, right? Yeah. And there's something mysterious, right?
Definitely.
Right? Yeah. Like the cake that you were saying, right? Like this amazing cake, and then you taste it and it's definitely not what you were expecting, right? Yeah. So that can totally transferred to the personality of a specific person. And
yeah, that sort of thing where it's like I think it is that like I grew up with this sort of very feminine expectation, and it's definitely ingrained, like a sense of like cuteness and stuff that I associate with my identity, but it's also just not an accurate, you know, whole of who I am. There's there's more to it than that. And I think that like almost ruined innocence looking kind of thing has always fascinated me, because I just find it really impactful, I guess. It's definitely a very feminine problem, I guess. It's a problem with growing up, a girl, and having that girliness put on you, and then, you know, and it's all very cute and pretty, but you know, your life isn't very cute and pretty. So things kind of like dressing up something ugly in a lot of ribbons, you know.
Yes.
And I think that's definitely the style I was going for, just this feeling like a very pretty strawberry shortcake, but it's got a spider on it, you know. Like something's just it's off. And I've always loved that style in other artists, so I'm happy that I could convey that myself. But to be able to animate it, especially, is the unique thing that I wanted to do. And
yeah, it is great that you're taking into your animation those kind of themes.
Yeah, that's definitely the inspiration for the whole show that I intend to make. Just it is about a little girl who's in a less than friendly world made of things that look cute but aren't. And it is about her having to come to terms with something tragic that happens to her. And it's sort of reflected in these creatures that are around her and how they sort of represent like almost a mockery of something that sort of been happy but isn't. That's inspired a lot by Alice in Wonderland, actually. Alice in Wonderland is one of my favorite things, I think, ever. I own so many Alice in Wonderland things. I definitely wanted that sort of like female fairy tale kind of thing. I think my favorite thing about Alice in Wonderland is that it's a fairy tale that's just about being a weird little girl and nothing else. She doesn't fall in love. She doesn't really save the day. She just is weird in a world that she made up that is also weirder than even she is. And I really love that about Alice in Wonderland. And there's so many like studies about Alice in Wonderland and stuff that's like the contrast of the grotesque and the whimsical, which is also my favorite thing to do.
What you're doing, yeah.
Like, because with Alice in Wonderland, people, if you read the original book, I mean, there's so many weird moments where it's like, okay, this would otherwise be horrific. if it wasn't treated like it was kind of a wonderful situation, like the queen who beheads everyone and like the weird duchess that beats up her pig baby, like, but it's treated like it's something cute, and it's very weird, especially since it's just got this very doily little girl in a fluffy dress running around through it, you know?
Yeah. And you know, like, I guess also because it's done with animation, right? If we will do an Alice in Wonderland with people, it will be kind of a scary movie.
Yeah, oftentimes the live action Alice in Wonderlands are scarier than like the Disney ones, just, and nothing's different, it's just you realize that this is happening in real life and it becomes a bit weird, but when you put it in animation, there's something kind of very pretty about it, and it's very whimsical and glowy, and I wanted to capture that feeling of just whimsy, but also if this was real, it would be very creepy. that was definitely the inspiration for just the whole show that I want to make someday, which also answers what I want to do when I get out of college, or when I go to another college.
Where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
I'm hoping to go to New Mexico. I hear they have a very good animation. I'm really excited to go to anything that's going to teach animation, because I'm completely self-taught, and I feel very not professional, I guess. There's a lot I don't know or get how to do, and I'm just really excited to improve. I can't wait to see like what I can do once I finally understand how you're supposed to do it professionally. Learning how to do it from scratch is difficult. I pretty much, in order to make that one I submitted, I pretty much just string together a bunch of pictures that I draw separately and I have to put it through another program that will string it all together into a video. So I'm making it just one frame at a time, and I'm hoping to, you know, get to know a program that teaches you how to do it more efficiently. How I'm doing it now is it's a bit weird. I'm not doing it right.
Well, but you know, it seems like you're definitely going into the right direction. It seems like you're like knowing how to, you know, manage the program, even if it's still a little bit clunky for you. But you know, you got Best of Show, right? So
the suck, yeah.
Yeah, so actually, how did you feel when you heard about winning Best of Show?
I had won another contest with the similar drawing, but I actually submitted only part of this. So I was like, this time I'm going to step it up. I think what I submitted in my other contest was just that first part with the man walking past his candy jars. So this time I was like, I'm submitting the whole thing because you let me send videos. I was really happy to see that I was able to win. I'm still honestly just shocked that I'm winning any of them. I honestly didn't know that that it was unusual what I do. It didn't occur to me that what I make is unusual just because, you know, I come from a community of people who make amazing digital art, and you're always thinking about how great other people are, I guess. So I was just like, okay, I'll submit this, and you know, it's probably not going to be as good as like a big sculpture or something. You know, I never really thought about it as something that people would find interesting. It seemed normal where I came from, I guess. And so it's always, I was actually talking about this earlier with my friend that like, yeah, it just hadn't occurred to us that it's not something that you usually see in a contest. So I'm glad that that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, it's because we are not teaching at EPCC any digital art that way yet. So, you know, usually you expect to see what the kids are producing, right? Again, seeing yours, it was completely different and it was new and it was surprising. But as I mean, the quality of your work, it's quite good. You know, the student art show is just our little community, right? A very small little community. But the other award that you want, right, it's for an international show. That is definitely telling you that you're in the right path and you should continue there and learn.
I think one of the things was actually that like I was worried there would be a stigma against like my particular digital art style. I don't consider it, at least personally, to be very clean or I suppose I was expecting a bias towards like maybe something more realistic looking, maybe that maybe it looked too childish even. Like it looked like a children's cartoon, which is what I intend to make. I was worried that maybe they'd find it a bit weird. So I am glad that like, if only just like for the technical fact that I got it to look like it's moving, that it did look impressive enough to win, that I'm really just surprised and glad. So I'm happy to hear it, really.
You know, our juror, Xochitl Rodriguez, she actually started with me in school, and she was doing metalsmithing, jewelry and small three-dimensional objects. And she started moving a little bit more into performance. And then she did a little bit of sculpture, and you know, she has been in several fields. And now, right now at this point, she is actually working in little short movies. So she definitely knows, you know, like how like a movie should be going and, you know, everything that goes into it. So I guess she is definitely seeing the value on your animation. Right, and not just that it moves.
Right? Yeah, I really love like weird little short films, so like Sundance stuff and all that. So I am glad that she thought of it in that way. I probably got a lot of inspiration from short films and stuff because I watched them enough. I am glad. I think in my last contest there was an answer, and it was really touching to hear with someone, because no one's ever really said anything professionally about how I animate, that my animation did look good just on a technical level, which meant a lot to me, because I've just never heard anyone say that before, especially about like the walking. He said that it was there's like the part where he's walking and it's reflecting on the mirrors, and he said that was his favorite part, and I was just really glad.
I believe that Sochil is definitely seeing, you know, like everything that you have been talking about, you know, from this specific piece kind of put together, and it's reflecting on her too, you know, like her experiences and, you know, how she's making these movies now. I think it just, you know, like definitely called to her. And I think on her commentary, she said that is something that she will never be able to do, but that she knows how like everything is put together and how it's definitely reflecting that concept that you're trying to convey, right? And how it's just really nice put together.
The movies that she makes, does she do like stop motion? Because she does sculptures and things?
No, it's all like she is, the ones that she's doing right now, one was kind of part of a performance that happened at the border, but the other one, it's a poem that she wrote, that it's being put together in the desert setting with herself and her daughter. And, you know, like she is like trying to convey her own story and her experience as a mother in the desert, in a place, it's actually called Growing Without Water. And, you know, again, it's a setting in the desert, and then she trying to be an example for this girl in a place that it's so dry, not only in weather like, but you know, also in like how society moves, intellectually think, and those issues. So she is trying to portray that, and how she is trying to manage to teach this kid the things that are valuable.
That's Growing Without Water is a very good title. but I think the thing about animation is that like it's a medium that you can do it from almost any angle. That's kind of what I love about it. If she knows how to sculpt, like she could just try stop motion animation. The only thing about that is that it just takes a lot of patience. I always tell people, I get a lot of questions on my art blog, like, how did you learn how to animate and things? I'm always having to tell them I just self-taught. And I think the best thing about trying to become an animator is just realizing that it's just sitting down and trying to get a picture to move from one place to another. So, you know, if you have a figurine or a drawing of the character, you just move it slightly. And you're animating, you know, it's just, it's a matter of patience. And it will take a lot of practice to get it to look good, like to make impacts look real and stuff. I think the first step really is just like getting something to move. And then you'll realize like, oh, it's just frames in a row, slightly different from the last one. And eventually you'll start to pick up on how to do it. Cause I was not a very pretty animator at the start either. I was stiff and everything looked very jumpy, you know, just enough staring at how animation looks and doing it enough, you start to figure out, you have to shorten the length of a frame or make a frame last longer to make it look like it's standing still at just the right time, you know? But I definitely, I am a firm believer that anyone could learn how to do any sort of artwork. So like, if she did ever want to be an animator, it's my advice that like, it's definitely possible. It just takes some, you know, dedication, willing to be bad at it for a little while. I think that's all art, just being willing to be bad for a little while and then eventually being good.
Well, thank you so much, Ariana. It's been a pleasure talking with you. You have opened a new channel for the students at EPCC, right? It's not just drawing and painting and sculpture and, you know, the traditional classical mediums, but, you know, like definitely, you know, animation, it's a place to go and explore. Right.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be someone to maybe encourage that more. I'd love to see more videos. And maybe an animation class here someday.
Yeah, maybe you can come back and develop the class for us and teach us, right?
Yeah.
That would be nice. So we really thank you for your time, Ariana. It's been a pleasure. And, you know, congratulations on getting Best of Show and, you know, best wishes on your plans and what it's coming up.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you so much, though. I was happy to do this interview. It was lots of fun. Thank you.
No, thank you so much. And for our listeners, don't forget to go to epccartshow.com to watch Ariana's animation. It's in the tab for the winners. And if you are also interested on watching the videos for Xochitl Rodriguez, they are posted on the website too. Please feel free to check them out.